We're picking up on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the top two dots, a little more than halfway down the page. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Al Elu Masrin B'chol Malchum. The Mishnah listed that if certain bad things happen, then that city and anyone who hears about it immediately cries out to Hashem. So the Gemara quotes a relevant Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a Braisa. Al Elu Masrin B'chol Malchum, for these things, everyone who hears about it should cry out immediately. Al Hashidafon V'al Hayarakon, two different types of blights that affect crops. Al arba v'chasil, different types of locusts that eat the crops, val chayara, or wild animals. Rekiva Omer, Rekiva says, al hashidafon val yarakon, if these blights happen, v'cholshu, even the smallest amount, causes us to immediately cry out to Hashem in with the strictest of fast. Arba v'chasil, afilo nir be'erz Yisrael, al kanaf echad, masrin alein. Similarly, these different types of locusts, even if you only see one wing in Israel, meaning just one locust, for that alone, Masrin Aleihen, we cry out immediately. Let's see Rashi on that. Shidafon v'yarakon, kevan shinira kolshu masrian, once we see the smallest amount, we cry out. And even though the Mishnah referenced a story in which it said that they saw the amount to fill an oven, where Rashi says, Umale tanur de masnisim, when the Mishnah talks about the story that when they saw enough to fill an oven, they declared a fast. That's only to declare a fast. But even a smaller amount, even a kol shu, will cause us to daven and cry out immediately. Or that was just a story. But in a chanami, it's true, even if there be less than that, even the smallest amount, according to Rabbi Kiva, will cause us to fast and cry out to Hashem. Kanaf echad, of echad, shel osa min, just one bird or one flying creature of that species, kain sipor kol kanaf, as the pasuk in Bereishis says, any bird, any winged animal. The word kanaf can just mean an example of one animal. Back into the Gemara. Val chayara, that we cry out to Hashem if wild animals come. Tanar bana, the rabbis taught in Bereishis, chayara sha'amru b'zman shi mishulachas masrin aleha, eina mishulachas ein masrin aleha. That when the Mishnah says that we cry out for wild animals, that's only when it's mishulachas, when we view it as being sent from Hashem, meaning that wild animals come in an unnatural way, then masrin aleha, we cry out. But if it's in a mishulachas, if they appear in a natural way, we do not cry out. Eidui mishulachas, eidui shein mishulachas, what is considered unnatural and what is considered natural. So the Bryce explains, Niris be'ir, if wild animals appear in the city, mishulachas, that is unnatural, is seen as something sent from Hashem, and we should cry out to Hashem. Besada, but if it just appears out in the fields, Eina Mishalachas, that is natural. Beyom Mishalachas, if they appear during the daytime, it is unnatural. Belaila, Eina Mishalachas, but at nighttime, it is natural. Rasa Shnei B'nai Adam V'Rasa Acharein, if two people see an animal and the animal chases them, Mishalachas, that's considered unnatural. Nichbeis, but if it immediately hides in front of them, before them, it runs away, Eina Mishalachas, that is natural. Similarly, tarfa shnei b'nei adam va'achla echa mehem, if it attacks two people and kills them, but only eats one mishulachas, that is considered unnatural. Achla shneihem ein mishulachas, but if it eats both of the people, then it's considered normal. Also, legag v'nat l'tinok me'arisa mishulachas, if it goes up to the roof of a building and takes out a baby from its crib, so then that is considered unnatural. So that is the Bryce's listing of things that are natural and unnatural. So the Gemara now analyzes this brisa. Haguf akasha, the brisa itself is difficult. Amris nireis abir mishulachas loshna b'yom loshna b'layla. It says that if it appears in the city, it's seen as unnatural, and it seems to imply whether it appeared at daytime or at nighttime. V'hadar amris b'yom mishulachas b'layla ein mishulachas. But then the brisa says only daytime is considered unnatural, and nighttime is normal. So the Gemara says no, lo kasha is not a difficulty. Hachi kamris is what the brisa means to say. Nireisa b'ir, if it appears in the city, b'yom, at daytime, so then mishulachas, so then that is considered unnatural, and we should cry out to Hashem. But b'layla ain't mishulachas, but if it only appears at nighttime, even in the city, then that is normal, and there's no need to daven. Inami, or basada afilu b'yom ain't mishulachas, or if it appears in the field, in the wild, even during the daytime, that again is normal, and there's no need to daven. So that is the answer to that contradiction. Continuing the Gemara again analyzes the Braisa. Rasa shnei b'nei adam, the Braisa says that if two people see it, v'ratza acharein, and the animal chases them, mishulachas, that's seen as unnatural. Ha'omedes, but if the animal just stays where it is and doesn't move, the implication is that would be considered normal. But v'hadar amris, the braisa continues and says, nichfes mipneihem, only if it hides from them, ein mushalechas, is it considered normal. Ha'omedes, but if it would stay where it is, mushalechas, it would be considered unnatural. So again, the Gemara says, lo kasha, this is not a difficulty. Kan v'sada hasmuch la'agam, this is talking about in field near the marshland, near the wild where the animal lives. Kambusada Shaina Smukalagam is talking about out in a field, not near the marshland, not near the animal's natural habitat. So therefore, when it is near its natural habitat, it feels comfortable to stand where it is, and it is only considered unnatural to chase. But if it's not near the marshland, even to stand where it is unnatural. Continuing, Tarfesh Nebede Adam Ke'echad Ba'achla Echad Mehem Mishalechas, the Brisa says, if it kills two people and only eats one, then it's considered unnatural. Shneihem Einam Mishalechas, but if it eats both, it is considered natural. The Gemara says, V'ha Amar Zafilu Ratzta, the Brisa had said earlier, even if it just chases people, it is seen as unnatural, let alone kills them or eats them. So again, Amar of Papa, Kitani Ahi Ba'agwa. That part of the rice is talking about when it's actually in the marshland where the animal lives, and therefore even to chase people is seen as natural. It would only be unnatural if it would kill two and eat one. Let's see Rashi on that. Mishuleches, if the animal is literally sent min hashamayim from heaven, meaning it is unnatural and we view this as a decree from Hashem. Besoda ina mishuleches dahinu orcha, but in the field it is considered natural, it's orcha, it's normal way. Tarfesh nebe adam v'lo acha el echad mehem, if it killed two people and only ate one. Vadei mishalechas, this is unnatural, sent from God. The kevin lo haisa rava el echad, since it was only hungry for one person, my time akat l'lala idach, why would it have killed the second one if it was not sent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shneim ene mishalechas, if it eats both then it's considered natural. Shneim fnei harava achlasim, it just ate the people because it was hungry. Also the gag, if it goes up to a roof, Rashi explains, "Regilim hayu lishtamish kol tashmishayim v'gagos." It used to be that it was their normal way for people to do whatever they needed to do on their roofs. Shlohei mishupayim, because their roofs were not slanted al chalakim, rather they were smooth, shoven, and flat. V'huadin levai shetachlevin, but the same would be true if the animal would go into the house beneath it and take a baby out of its Rashi arisa, bartzo balaz, against some, you know, its crib or wherever the baby sleeps. Hachikamar, this is what the Brisa means to say. Haide kani nirasa be'ira, when the Brisa says that if it appears in the city, Hachikamar, this is what the Brisa is saying. Nirasa be'ira, if it appears in the city, kigon shenirasa be'yom, if it appears at daytime, destam nirasa be'yom, mashma, because if you just say stam, without explaining that something appeared, it means during the day. Avabalayla in mishalechas, but if it would appear at night, even in the city, then it is not considered unnatural. But haide kani nirasa be'yom, and when it says that if it appears during the day, changing the gersa ear is referring to the city kai, that only then is it unnatural. The nirasa basada, because if it appeared in the fields b'yom, even in the daytime in mishalachas, that is seen as natural. Ha'amda basada jlo rasav lo nichves, if it stands out in the field but does not run and it does not hide, so there are contradictory inferences. So we answer basada hasmucha la'aga, if it's in a field near the marshland amda. So then if it stands, it is not unnatural. It is natural. Since it's near the marshland, so that's where it normally grows, lives, and develops. And if it doesn't run away, if it doesn't chase after the people, it thinks, if they come after me, I will immediately run and hide in the marshland. But in a field which is not near the marshland, if the animal just stays, mishulachas, it is unnatural. The kevin delav makom revisa, who since it's not its natural habitat, the kaima, it's not in that area. Vadei mishulachas, it's certainly been sent from God. Gzerihi is decree from heaven, and we need to be masriyan. Agam marshik balaz hasamach liir v'hu malikotzim, the wild area near the city, and it's full of thorns. Kitania hahi. When the Brisa says da'achla in ratzalo, only if it eats people, but not if it chases them, is it wild? That's talking about bi'agam in the actual marshland. The cave of the Haina Duchta, Samcha Daita Virata Basra, since that is its place, the animal will be confident and it will chase after a pupil. Back into the Gemara. Gufa also lagav v'natatinok me'arisa meshulachas. Quoting the Breisa, if the animal goes up to the roof and takes a baby from its crib, meshulachas, it's considered unnatural. Pshita, it's obvious. No normal animal would do that. So Amar Rav Papa, kekuchi yitzaydi. We're talking about the huts of hunters. Rashi, kekuchi yitzaydi, huts of hunters. Kuch katan shel sayadim, these huts that, a small hut of hunters, trappers, shiachru lamarav haofos, that they would dig for the people who are trying to trap birds. V'afagav delav binin kavuhu, even though it's not a set permanent building, v'lo havikishiv, it's not really like the regular inhabited areas of, let's say, a city. Still, if an animal goes in that area, havi mishulaches, that's enough to view it as unnatural and being sent from shamayim. And therefore, there'd be a need to be masrian. Okay, continuing the Gemara. Al hacherev, the Mishnah said that we cry out if the sword passes through the country. Tanarban, the rabbis taught in Braisa. Cherev sha'amra, when we say that if they cry out for a sword, eno sarach lomar cherev sha'eno shel shalom, there's no need to say that that's true for a sword not of peace, meaning if an army is attacking Israel. El afilu cherev shel shalom, even if it's a sword of peace, meaning army marching through Israel, but not to attack Israel, to go and attack another nation, even for that alone, we should cry out. Why? There was no greater sword of peace than Paro Necho, the king, the Paro of Egypt, who was trying to pass through Eretz Yisrael. And nevertheless, the king Yoshiyahu stumbled through Paro Necho and ended up being killed because of it. Let's just see Rashi before we turn the page. Ain tarach lamar cherev sheino shel shalom. We don't need to say for a sword of peace, shemasrin aleha, that we cry out for it. El afil cherev shel shalom, even for a sword of peace, we cry out. What does that mean? What is a sword of peace? Ha'over esterech oso malchus leilech lihilachim b'malchum acher. If the army is passing through this certain kingdom, whether we live in Israel or above, wherever we live, to go and fight somewhere else. So even for that, can end in disastrous, with disastrous consequences, as we see by Yoshiyahu, and as we will learn in a minute, and therefore you should cry out for it. Shinamar, the pasuk says, Vayishlach eilav malachim lemor mal li balach melch Yehuda lo alacha ata hayom ki el beis melchamti ve'elohim amar levahaleni chadalacha me'elohim asher yimi v'hal yashchi sacha. So the pasuk in Divrei Yamim says that Paro Necho sent messengers to Yoshiyahu saying, what do I have to do with you, O king of Judah? I don't have anything upon you. Rather, it is to my war that I'm going, and my God has told me to hurry. Do not stand in the way of my God who is with me, and he will not destroy you. My Elohim Asher Imi, what does Paro Necho mean when he said, my God who is with me? Amar Bihud Amar Rav Zu Avodah Zarah, he was referring to Avodah Zarah, idols. Amar, so Yoshiyahu said, Hol v'kabatach b'Avodah Zarah, since Paro Necho is relying on Avodah Zarah, Yechil Nalei, I can certainly overcome him. So Yoshiyahu went out to fight him, but Vayoru Hayorim L'melech Yoshiyahu, the archers shot arrows at the king Yoshiyahu. V'yomar HaMelech L'Avodah Heviruni Ki Hichlesi Mo'ud, and the king told his servants, remove me from the battle, because I am extremely sick, about to die. Mikey he chlesi mode, what does it mean that he's severely injured? This teaches us that he was shot with so many arrows that he made his entire body like a sieve. Amr Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei ma nanesh Yoshiyahu, why in fact was Yoshiyahu punished? What did he do that was wrong? Mipnei shehayelo limalech b'Yirmiyahu, because he should have consulted the prophet Yirmiyahu, but he did not, and for that he was punished. My Darish, what did Yoshiyahu, what was he Dorish to think that he should go and fight Paro Necho? Because the pasuk says, V'cherev lo savor ba'aretzchem, that a sword will not pass through your land, Hashem promises. My cherev, what does it mean a sword? Ilei mecherev she'eno shel shalom, if it only refers to a sword of war, not of peace. V'ksiv v'nasati shalom ba'aretz, the pasuk already says that Hashem says, I will give peace to the land. Ella afilo shel shalom. Rather, the pasuk must mean even a sword of peace will not pass through Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Yoshiyahu did not want that to happen, and he went out and fought Paru Necho. Who eino yodea shein doro domo yafa, but he did not know that his generation did not appear worthy, was not literally yafa, nice, in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they weren't worthy of such brachos, and Yoshiyahu should have let Paru Necho go through. Kavinecha nafshe, when Yoshiyahu is dying, chazer Yirmiyahu sifso seya de kamarachshon, Yirmiyahu saw that Yoshiyahu's lips were moving. Amar, Yirmiyahu said, Shema chas v'shal milsud lo mahagno Amar agav tzari. Perhaps he's going to say something not befitting due to his pain. Maybe he's going to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gacham v'shameh, so he leaned over and listened to what he was saying. And he heard v'shameh, he heard the kamatzdik alei dina anafshe, that he was accepting the judgment against himself and declaring it to be just. Amar Yoshiyahu said, Tzadiku Hashem ki pihu marisi. Hashem is righteous because I rebelled against his mouth. Pasach alei ha'ishaita, Yirmiyahu opened and began saying at that moment, Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem, referring to Yoshiyahu, he is the breath of our nostrils, the anointed one of God, he is such a tzadik. Let's see Rashi on that. Vayishach elav malachim le'mor, malecha v'lecha malach Yehuda, lo lecha ta yom ki al beis mechamti, ve'elohim amar le'va'aleini, charad lecha me'elohim asher imi, lo lecha ani holecha yom. Again, that was the message that Paru Necho sent to Yoshiyahu. Rashi explains, Yoshiyahu yatsa likrasu l'melchama, Yoshiyahu went to greet him, to meet him in war. Lo nasnu lav v'barto, he wasn't letting him pass through his land, Eretz Yisrael. V'shalach lo Paru Necho malachim le'mor, so Paru Necho sent messengers with this message saying, Man Elohim, the Kamale Paru Necho, Chadal Lecham Elohim Asher Imi. What was the God that Paru Necho is referring to when he said that don't stand in the way of the God which is with me? Malame, this teaches me Nechsev, because the pasuk says Vayoru Hamorim, that the archers shot Demashmi Yirios Rabos, it's in plural, and repeated it teaches that they shot many arrows Yoru Hamorim. Amar Yehuda Amarav Lame Shasu called Gufo Kigivra, they made his body like a sieve. Haksiv nasati shalom ba'aretz, but the pasuk says that Hashem will bring peace to the land. So why does the pasuk need to repeat that a sword will not pass through the land? Elafilu cherev shalom, this comes to teach that even a sword of peace, she'ein doro doma yafe be'enei amakom, that the generation was not good in the eyes of Hashem. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. There is a story that they saw a certain amount of blight. Excuse me, on the crops. It was enough to be mali pi hatanur, to fill the mouth of an oven. Because of that, they declared a fast. So the Gemara asks, Iboilihu, they asked, kamali tanur tfu, what does it mean? It was on the amount of grain to fill an oven. Odima kamali tanur pas, or the amount of grain to make bread that would fill the mouth of an oven. So let's see Rashi on that. Iboilihu kamali tanur tfua, the amount of grain to fill an oven. Dahainu shir godol yoser, that which is a bigger amount. Mimali tanur pas, than the amount of bread to fill an oven. Why? The shir katana, which is smaller. Shein derech lamalos kol chalol hatanur pas, because when you fill up an oven with bread, you don't literally fill it up completely. Al bitfanos madbikin oso. The way their ovens would work, you would just stick it on the walls of the oven around the mouth, but you wouldn't fill up the actual opening of the oven. So the Gemara says, Toshima, come and listen from another Braisa, Kamali Pi Tanur. That, because the Mishnah only said Kamali Tanur, to fill an oven, and the Braisa says to fill the mouth of an oven. So that's clearly referring to the bread, because you use the way they put the bread, and the bread would fill up the mouth of the oven. The dainty boy lehubu, we can still ask ki suyu de tanur. Does that mean enough bread to fill the oven? Or duma ki dara derifta the harder lay the puma de tanur teku. Or does it mean enough bread to stack from the bottom that it would reach the mouth of the oven? Teku, unresolved question. Let's see Rashi on that. Toshma tiktane chada, one writes, it teaches ki I listen with this language kamali piha tanur, to fill the mouth of an oven. Dain opas, which means the amount of grain to make bread to fill the mouth of an oven. Deilu tfuah, because grain lo matzi kaima al pitanur, grain can't stand, right, won't stick to the walls to fill up just the mouth. Odima ki dar derifta, or does it mean stacking the bread? Shur shalachem, a row of bread. Hadvukin zeh, so zeh stuck one to another. Befia tanur, in the mouth of the oven. Inami shemadvukin zeh lamala mizeh, or to stack them one on top of another. Adpia tanur, until it reaches the opening of the oven. Okay, so we don't know exactly how much blight there was. Again, this makes more sense if this is the minimum shear to declare fast. But if this was just a story, and even less, we fast forward, it's difficult to understand why the Gemara is discussing the details of the story. Anyways, continuing the Gemara. Va'od gazru tanat al sha'achlu ze'evim. The Mishnah talks about that two wolves appeared and that ate two babies. So the Gemara talks about that story a little bit. Amar Ula Mishum Rishum Ben Yotzadak Maisu Balu Ze'evim Shnei Tinokos V'yikium Derech Beisareid. It happened that these two wolves ate two babies whole, and then they left. They went through their digestive system and went out with the excrement. And then it came in front of the Chacham and Vetiras Abasar. They said that the flesh of the babies is tahor, is no longer considered the flesh of a mace. Vetimas es hatamas, but the bones are still considered the bones of a dead body and are therefore tame. Let's see Rashi on that. Ubalan kishahin shlemim. The wolves swallow them whole. Vetiras Abasar. They said the flesh is tahor. Sheinu matame tumas mace. It does not have the tuma of a mace, of a dead body. Disakel v'nispatel tochmeav, because it was digested and it was nullified in the stomach. Kigon shesho yumeikol, as long as it lasted in the body enough time to be digested. Upir shavamhu, and therefore it's considered as excrement and nothing more. But v'timu es hatzamos, they said the bones are considered impure. Delomis achle, because they do not digest. They don't break down. Back into the Gemara. Al Eilu Masrim B'Shabbos, the Gemara quoted, the Mishnah had a machlokas about when and how you cry out for certain things on Shabbos. Tanur Banan, the rabbis taught in Braisa. Irshi Kifu Anachrim, if a city is surrounded by non-Jews who are attacking it, Onahor, or a river is swelling to flood a city, Ve'echad Svina Hamitaras V'yam, or a ship which is in stormy seas, v'achad yachad shenir v'pnei hanachrim, or someone who's being chased by the non-Jews, only if they list them, or robbers, v'pnei ruach ra, or an evil spirit is in someone, akulan yachad rashai l'sagef es asmo b'tanis. So for all these things, a person is permitted to afflict himself in fasting in order to daven that he should be saved. A person is not permitted to afflict himself in fasting. Shami is sorry, Chlorios. Maybe he will then need the help of his fellow man. And people will not have mercy on him because he did it to himself. My time to Rav Yossi. What is the reason of Rav Yossi? Dechsiv, the pasuk says, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, that the person became a living soul, living being. And we are dorish neshamash nasati b'cha, the soul that I gave you, hechiya, you should keep it alive. We're not meant to hurt our health. Let's see Rashi on that. Mifnei ruach ra, there's an evil spirit, shenichnas bo ruach shida, spirit of a demon, entered someone, v'ratz v'holich, and he's running around crazily, v'shami yitpa v'nahar, maybe he'll drown in a river, or yipol v'yamos, or he'll fall and die. So we daven for him, or he can daven for himself. L'sagef lanos nefesh, he can afflict himself. Mitargamina l'safka nefesh, the unkelus, the translation of lanos nefesh, is to be misagef. Yitzarech lebrios, he will need his fellow man. Ki imbo koach laharviach, lisparnes miyagiyo, he won't have enough strength to make a living and support himself. Dechsev l'nefesh chaya hecheyei, again, keep yourself alive. Let's just see Tosos on this point. Rav Yossi Omer Eina Yachar Rashai L'Sagif. Rav Yossi says a person is not permitted to afflict himself in fasting. V'nir Ali Tos says it seems the honey tanai lo palig b'had demari honey amorai b'pirkin delel. The machlokas tanaim here, whether a person is permitted to fast, is not the same as the machlokas amorayim earlier that we learned.
im nikra chote or nikra kadosh, of whether someone who fasts is viewed as a sinner or as someone who is holy. The Maraim are arguing about when a person has the strength to pain himself and he won't have to rely on others. And yet, is that considered someone who's holy or a sinner? But the Machlokas Tanaim here is talking about when the person is worried he will not be able to support himself or physically handle the fast. In that case, is it permissible to do so? Okay. Let's see, back into the Gemara again. Shimon HaTemani Omer Af Al Hadever. Shimon HaTemani said that we even cry out on Shabbos for a plague. And the Gemara said that the Mishnah had said the Chacham disagreed. Iboilehu, so they asked the following question. Lo hodu lo Chacham b'Shabbos. Is it that the Chacham did not agree that it's permissible to cry out on Shabbos? Aval b'chol hodu lo, but on a regular weekday they agree you should cry out for a plague. Uldima lo hodu lo kol, perhaps they did not agree at all, they should not cry out at all. Toshma, we learned in a Braisa, a sign the Braisa teaches, Master. Masrian al hadever b'Shabbos, that we cry out for a plague on Shabbos. Bein tzarich lomar b'chol, and certainly we do so on chol. So that's the opinion of Shimon HaTimani. Rav Chanan ben Pitom Talmidel shel Rikiva Meshum Rikiva Omer, but Rav Chanan ben Pitom, the student of Rikiva, said in his name, Ein masrian al hadever kol ikar, we do not cry out for a plague at all. So that seems to be the answer. We don't cry out at all. Let's just see Rashi on that. Chanan ben Pitom Omer Ein Masrian Al Hadever Afilu B'chol D'Gzerahi. We don't cry out at all, even on a weekday, because it's a decree. From Hashem, and you can't daven against it. So the problem is, though, the Mishnah said earlier that we do cry out for a dever. So either this is a third opinion. Some say we don't cry out at all. Some say we cry out during the weekend. And Shimon HaTimani says we cry out even on Shabbos. Or the Ran explains that no, that Rekiva only means to say we don't cry out constantly like we do for these other things, but we will declare some fasts as we do for other bad things. So that everyone agrees to. The Machlokas between Shimon HaTimani and Rekiva is only whether we should fast constantly even on Shabbos or fast constantly without Shabbos, but everyone agrees that we will at least declare some fast for a plague. Okay, and let's keep going for just a little bit. Al kol tsar shlotavo al hatzibor, we cry out for every bad thing that it should not come upon the community. Tarim banan the rabbis taught in a braisa, al kol tsar shlotavo al hatzibor masriyan aleha, we cry out for every bad thing, chus mirav gesham, except for too much rain. My time, what is the reason? I'm Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan said, "Lafisha emes balan al rov hatel." But we don't daven because we have too much good. V'amar Rav Yochanan, minayin shemes balan al rov hatel. How do I know that we don't daven when we have too much good? Shneimar, because the pasuk says, "Hey, view us kol hamasar es beis haosar." Hashem says, "Bring all the meiser to the storehouse in the base of Megdash." And Hashem, and the pasuk ends that Hashem says, "And I will bless you ad bli dai, more than enough." So the Gemara says, "My ad bli dai." What does it mean, more than enough? Amarami bar Rav ad shivalu sifso seichem milomar dai, until you'll be blessed with so much that your lips will wear out saying enough. Meaning, you'll have so much blessing upon blessing, and even though it's so much, we're not meant to daven for that to stop, but rather we're meant to have this overflow of blessing. Amarami bar Rav yud barami bar Rav yud said ubagola masrin aleha, but in the exile we actually do cry out if there's too much rain. Because in Bavel, too much rain really will be very destructive, and therefore really is not just too much of a blessing, but really it's a bad thing. And for that, we will cry out. Tanya Mehach, we also learned in a Braisa, Shana Shegesha Meha Merubim, when there's too much rain, Anshe Mishmar Shochan Anshe Maimad, the members of the Mishmar, that was the group of Kohanim serving in the Beis HaMikdash at the time, Shochan Anshe Maimad was sent to the group of Yisraelim who were davening, at that time, they would take turns davening over the Karbanos. We'll learn more about that later in the Masechta. So anyways, they would send them a message saying, Tunu einechem ba'achichem shebegola, place your eyes upon your brothers in the exile in Bavel, shaloyu bateim kivreim, so that their houses should not be their graves, that we should daven that they shouldn't get too much rain, because if there's too much rain, all their houses will collapse. Shalos Rabbi Elazar, they asked Rabbi Elazar, Ad heichen geshamim yordim vispalu shlo yardu, how much rain needs to fall so that we will daven that it should not rain anymore? And Malhemi told him, Kadesh yamud adam v'keren eifel, so that a person should stand on Keren Eifel, which is a high cliff, v'yashach sheikh ragel of amayim, and he could dangle his leg down into the water. I mean, so much water will go up to this high, famous cliff, which basically will never happen. So basically he was saying we should never daven for it to stop raining. V'hatanya, we learned in Raisa Yadav, that it has to be enough so that you can dangle your hand, not your foot. So we're into Raglav Kiyadav, it means you can dangle your foot like your hand coming. That's what he meant to say. Amarabavar Barchana Lididi Chazili Keren Eifel, he said, I saw Keren Eifel, and it's so high that when I was on top of it looking down, the Kama Utaya Kirachav Gamla, that a certain Arab merchant stopped below and he was riding a camel. Venukit Ramchan, he was holding a spear biyadeh in his hand, and Mischazi Iniva, and he looked as small as a worm. That's how high it was, that this person on the camel holding the spear looked like a worm. Let's see Rashi on that. Ubagola, I'm sorry, weren't right before. Rami Bar Rav Yud, Chacham Shishmo Yud, apparently his name was Yud, Rabbi Yud. Ubagola, Bavel Shiva Matsula, in Bavel, which is in a low-lying area, so too much rain will cause destruction. Masrin al Rub Gashamim, Shalo Yerdu, we cry out for too much rain that should not fall. Shali Batem Kivraim, that their houses should not be their graves. Shamukahi, Venetbaim, Batem Bamayim, it's deep and their houses will sink in too much water. Anshi Mishmar Vanshi Maimah, these are the groups of Kohanim and Yisraelim. Afarsh B'shul Shaprakim L'Kamon, the Gemara later on will explain what these groups are. Tenu Einechem, place your eyes. Hisbonu B'tfilatchem B'tanis B'tanios Aleihem Shalo Yerdu Rav Gashamim. You should contemplate, think about in your tefilos on fast days that they should not receive too much rain. Keren Eifel, Shein Tzela Gavoa, a sharp high rock, a cliff, Kashrim, that was his name, V'yashach Sheikh Ragel V'mayim Klomer L'Olam Eim Espalin, until you can dangle your feet in the water, meaning you should never not daven. There's never too much rain in Eretz Yisrael. Batani Yada, but the rice says, your hand, Ash Yashach Sheikh Yada, until you can dangle your hand into the water, only then do you not daven. So we answer Ragelo Kiyado, that his leg should be able to dangle like his hand. But Kivin the Yachal Ashach Sheikh Biraglo, since you can dangle your leg and touch the water, Ishocha, so if you bend over Yachal Ashach Sheikh Biyado Nam, you'd also be able to dangle your hand. So you can dangle your leg such that you could also dangle your hand into the water. But again, it's just a phrase meaning there's never too much water, you always daven. Taya Socher Yishmael, an Arab merchant, Umischazi, he appeared, Hai Taya V'gamli V'rumcha, the Rabba Bar Barchana, the Havi Al Keren Eifel, that this merchant on his camel with his spear appeared to Ram Bar Rachama, who was standing on top of Keren Eifel. Iniva Tola'as, it means a worm, L'shtachrina Ki Anva. Lindina Balaz, and Inva is a nit, it's the egg of a lice. Again, something very, very small, that this cliff is so high that the Arab on the camel just looked like a nit. And again, only if the water reaches that cliff, only then do you stop davening, meaning, as Rashi said, we never stop davening for rain in Eretz Yisrael.